as much as lies within us, live peaceably with all men. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. It's interesting. We're talking about political leaders that are God's ministers. So even when we have elections and someone's elected and we don't think, well, I don't know how we're going to make it through that, that's still God's minister for that time, for that purpose. But if thou do that which is evil, in other words, resist or go out there and march against them or whatever, expect the consequence. Be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. This is simply laying down how it is we live in this world. Yes, it's an evil world, but by the grace of God, we know that all things are subject to Christ, who is the supreme authority over all things. And that, for conscience sake, knowing that God in Christ has put these authorities in our lives, whatever they are, for this time, for our good and his glory. Or for this cause, pay you tribute. You might not like the tax system, but taxes are collected for the purpose of running the government. This cause paid you tribute. Doesn't mean we don't have a voice. We do. At least in this country, you can vote people in and out. But even that is by God's determination.
It's not something that you appoint somebody just out of necessity. It just seems like today in most congregations, not where the gospel's preached, but in the world, in works religion, they open up offices. And so when one person comes in, it's like a job. He's there for 3 years and then he moves on and now we got to find somebody else to fill it. And, you know, they give them different titles, minister of youth, minister of seniors, minister of administration, minister of the word, minister of music, all these things. But we don't see that pattern in Scripture. And I believe that's what Paul is referring to here. He's reminding Timothy to be strong in the faith, even as those that had seen him and commended him to the ministry had foretold. That's what a prophecy is, foretold of his usefulness in the ministry. But the purpose of this charge, you can see here in verse 18 also, that's the basis of it. The purpose of it is that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In other words, remember these commendations. Remember. We all need encouragement. And in the middle of battle, remember as you were, you know, being prepared back there in that congregation. Now you're in the middle of the warfare. Don't forget those things that others have seen of you and let that be an encouragement to you to continue on. What about Christ's work in sanctification? If you look over in Hebrews chapter 2, what the Father, even Christ said that, didn't he? The Father worketh heretofore, and I work. In other words, they're one. God the Father didn't choose some, and then Christ come and try to lay down his life for everybody. No, they work together. Here we see it in Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. In other words, that's how God sees them. That work that the Lord Jesus Christ did in coming, living, and dying, rising again, he did for a people that was set apart. And it says, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. How were God's people sanctified by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, when he died, they were in him. They were set apart. They were set apart in election, but they were set apart there at the cross. When Christ died, he wasn't dying for everybody. Isaiah said he'll see his seed and be satisfied. So, sanctified in the death of Christ, isn't it?